Morning. Well, as many of you know, the lectionary for Sundays is on a three-year cycle. Year A, we cover Matthew's Gospel, year B, Mark, and year C, Luke. And we're in year B, so we should be in Mark's Gospel. But for 5 weeks, starting last Sunday and for the next today and the next 3 weeks, we take a break from Mark's Gospel, and we have these 5 weeks of John's Gospel, and all five of these weeks are from John chapter 6, that beautiful chapter entirely devoted really to the Eucharist, where some of the strongest affirmations of the Eucharist and of the real presence in the Eucharist are affirmed. And today in this Gospel, our Lord is calling out his followers on what their true motivation is for following him. He's moving on, and when he arrives in Capernaum, this crowd finds him again and kind of shocked, like, "Hey, where have you been? When did you get here?" And he calls him out. He says, "You're not really looking for me for the right reasons." He says, "You're looking for me because you ate the loaves and were filled." Remember, our Lord had just performed that miracle that we heard just last week, the multiplication of the loaves. Our Lord had just performed this great miracle and had fed the crowd, and he kind of calls them out and says, "You know, the reason why you're looking for me, the reason why you're coming after me is because you got your fill of food. That's why you're looking for me now, to get fed again." He says, "You're not following me for the right reasons." And he kind of calls them out on this. And later at the end of this gospel, of course, when our Lord tells them to seek the food that lasts, they ask him, "What is this? Give this to us always." They remember the bread that Moses had called down from heaven when the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. That's what we heard about in that first reading from the book of Exodus. When the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years and they were hungry, and Moses called upon God, and God rained down the manna, right? That flaky bread stuff that just kind of appeared on the ground, and the Israelites survived on that for 40 years. And they reminisced about that. They said, "Well, you know, Moses gave us this bread from heaven." And our Lord corrects them and says, "Well, the true bread from heaven will not just feed your body. Not like the man in the desert, not even like the bread that I gave you when I performed the multiplication of the loaves." He says, "The true bread from heaven endures for eternal life," he says. "That's the bread you should work for, the bread that endures to eternal life." And he has this great line at the end when they say, "Well, give us this bread always." And he says, I am the bread of life. "Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." And he's talking about something, he's absolutely talking about the Eucharist. He's absolutely talking about the Eucharist, but he's talking about something more as well here. Because obviously our Lord is not suggesting that we simply live off of the sacred host and eat nothing else. Although, interestingly enough, there are some stories of saints in our 2,000-year history of the church that supposedly did live literally just on the sacred host. They would go to Mass every day, and that was like all they ever ate. Our Lord's not telling us to do that. If our Lord tells you to do that, tell me how it goes. But our Lord is not telling us to do that. He's referring to the Eucharist, but he's saying something else here. He says that this is the bread that endures forever, for eternal life, that he is the bread of life, and that whoever comes to him will never hunger, whoever believes in him will never thirst. Remember, our Lord also said that he himself, that his bread, this was our Lord, remember, our Lord said his bread, the food that sustains him, was doing his Father's will. And I think that's what our Lord is getting at here. Our Lord is saying that to come to him, to receive Holy Communion, but not just to receive Holy Communion, to live the Christian life that we're called to live is a matter of doing the will of the Father, right? He says, "My food is to do the will of my Father." Perhaps this is an opportunity for us to to look at what our own motivation is for following the Lord. Our Lord called out these followers in the beginning of the gospel, kind of questioned their motivation for following him. Was it just because you've got your fill? Is that why you're following me? Or are you following me for the right reasons? Are you following me because you want that bread that endures forever? You want to live a life doing the will of God the Father. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes for me, I can very easily fall into the trap of going to prayer when I know I'm going to get something out of it. You know, there are times where you'll have some amazing experience and it'll put you on a kind of spiritual high, right? And you go to prayer because it gives you that high. And you know that you're going to get that high going to prayer. It's not a bad thing, but we have to ask ourselves, well, why am I going to prayer? Am I going to prayer because it does something for me? Because not that it's bad when I get some kind of spiritual high, that's a good thing, but is that why I'm going to prayer? Is that why I go to Mass? You know, because then what happens when those things aren't there? You know, sometimes when I talk to fallen away Catholics and they say, oh, well, I don't get anything out of Mass and that's why I don't go anymore, I kind of want to slap them and say, you missed the point. You're not supposed to get something out of Mass. It's wonderful if you do. It's wonderful if there's a good choir, as we are blessed to have at Sacred Heart. It's wonderful if you have a beautiful church. It's wonderful if you have a good homilist. But that's not the point. We're not supposed to wait until those things are there. Because then why are we going to Mass? Well, we're going to Mass because it's a pretty church. I like to look at the stained glass. I like to listen to the choir. Father's a pretty good speaker, you know. No, if that's why we're going to church, or even because it puts me on a spiritual high. Again, it's wonderful when church does that to us, but that's not why we should go to church. We don't go to church because it does something for us. We go to church because we have an obligation to worship God. We have an obligation to worship God built into our very nature as creature to worship the Creator, right? We should go to church because we want to do God's will, because we want to be filled, right? We want to be filled with His Word. We want to be filled with His own body and blood in the Eucharist. But we should, that's why we should be going to church. That's why we should be going to prayer, spending time in the Adoration Chapel. That's why we should be living a good, holy life. There's another trap we can easily fall into is, you know, why do we do certain charitable things? Are we doing it because we know that our name is going to get published in some book of donors? Is that why we donate to things? Is it because our friends are going to see us and think better of us? Or is it because we want to do God's will? Is it because God's will is the food that sustains us? So again, today perhaps an opportunity for all of us, and absolutely myself included, to kind of look at our motivations here. Why is it that we are trying to live a Catholic Christian life? Is it because it does something for us, or is it because we really want to live a life for God? We want to live a life in which we are consumed with doing His will. And I'll wrap up with this. Guess what? It's important for us to remember that doing God's will is in our own best interest anyways, right? I've said this plenty of times before, and I'll say it again, but God is only ever going to call us to do that which He already knows is going to fulfill us. He knows you better than you know you. He knows what's going to make you happy and fulfilled better than what you think is going to make you happy and fulfilled. And so it's in your own interest. It's in your own best interest to not put up a fight, to do what God wants you to do, even if it doesn't make sense, even if you wonder, well, how could that possibly fulfill me? But to trust that, well, if God is calling me to this, He knows me better than I know myself. And because He loves me, He's only going to ask me to do what He knows is already going to make me fulfilled. So it's in our own interest. It's in our own interest to live a life for God. That is the true way. That is the only way to true fulfillment, to have that fullness of life that Christ said He came to give us, right? He said, I came He didn't say, you know, I came so that you might live a life full of rules and that whenever you break them, I can laugh at you from heaven. No, he said, I came so that you may have life and have life to the full. Yeah, well, there are rules and they're for our own good. And God does call us to do things sometimes that we don't want to do, but it's for our own good. It's because he knows it's going to make us happy and fulfilled. So today we have this opportunity to ask ourselves, what is our motivation for following the Lord? And to ask our Lord to help us purify our intentions, that we may live a life for God the Father, that we, like our Lord, may be able to say, my food is truly doing the will of God the Father.